At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. Geek, 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 geek.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure to geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, and we are covering Legends of the Dark Knight, Batman the Animated Series, A Legacy Remembered.
So I had this idea last year when it was going to be a year since Kevin Conroy passed away. And in that time, at the end of last year, unfortunately, we lost Arlene Sorkin, voice of Harley Quinn, Richard Mull, voice of Two-Face, and Treat Williams, voice of Dr. Achilles Milo. Now, no one's really going to remember that character because Dr. Achilles Milo, as it turns out, was only in one of the worst episodes of the series.
Which is?
He's in the Tiger Tiger episode. I'm like looking at every single DCAU wiki page I can look at to find where this character appears. Because, like, Dr. Milo, whatever the other, not Hugo Strange, but there's another Dr. Milo that shows up in Justice League, and I'm like, is it that? No, it's not that guy. But Treat Williams, all of these actors and actresses, I was really surprised. I know we've lost a lot of people, but so in the document that we have, folks, I have under the episode topic, BTAS actors and actresses that have passed away. Now, the article that I linked there actually says ones you didn't probably know that have passed away. But because we are who we are here at the GeekCast Radio Network and we love Batman the Animated Series, we usually keep up on this stuff. So I was really surprised that including Shirley Walker, who was the main composer for the series for all the music and everything else, 22 voice actors / actresses plus Shirley, 23 people have passed away.
That sucks.
That is, and we're not here to just bring the depression down. We're here to celebrate them. That's the point. A Legacy Remembered is, oh my God, all of these people, like, so the 23 names that I have here, I just mentioned Shirley Walker, and we'll talk about her a little bit later, but Roddy McDowall voiced the Mad Hatter. Joseph Mayer voiced Dr. Dorian, which Dr. Dorian was, oh, what episode was that in? It was one of the one-off episodes. Mary Kay Bergman was one of the three voices of Batgirl from that series because Melissa Gilbert did it first, Mary Kay did it again, and then or did it the second time, and then Tara Strong took over. Brock Peters was the voice of Lucius Fox. John Vernon was the voice of Rupert Thorne. Steve Susskind was voiced. He voiced Maxi Zeus from the Mount Olympus episode, I believe.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned Shirley already. Lloyd Bachner voiced Mayor Hamilton Hill.
Mayor Hill getting in trouble with the Joker.
That's right. Yep, yep. Michael Pataki voiced the Sewer King, which I had to look that character up, and I'm like, oh, right, the Underdwellers, an episode that I barely remember.
Because it was irrelevant.
It was one of the few out of the however many 85, 90 episodes the show had. Just bad. I threw a rock at him. Aaron Kincaid voiced Killer Croc. George Murdoch voiced Boss Bigus from the Forgotten episode. Because the Forgotten, the only reason why I give the Forgotten a kind of pass is the music in that was amazing. But that's the episode where Bruce loses, like, he gets hit on the head or he gets knocked out or whatever, and he loses his memory, forgets who he is, ends up in the middle of a desert with this fat guy, like, named Boss Bigus, just, you know, having people do manual labor, blah, blah, blah. That's the episode where Alfred gets to fly the Batwing by himself. And the Batwing computer's like, you're not doing this right.
Shut up.
Michael and Sarah voiced Mr. Freeze. Henry Pollack II voiced Dr. Jonathan Crane, a.k.a. the Scarecrow. Bob Hastings was Commissioner Gordon. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. needs no introduction, but he voiced Alfred Pennyworth. Guest starring the man who kind of started Batman on TV completely back in the 60s, Mr. Adam West, obviously voiced the Grey Ghost / Simon Trent in BCAS. Ed Asner, who died in 21, voiced Roland Daggett. Henry Silva voiced Bane. David Warner voiced Ra's al Ghul. And yes, folks, it is Ra's. I don't care what anyone says. It's Ra's.
I know. This show made that, like, legendary. And
yeah. Because it sounds so stupid. Whenever Raz or Raz or Razmataz. Like,
Razmataz.
No, Razmataz around here. No, yeah, no, no.
Yeah,
no.
We don't do that.
No. Ra's al Ghul. The man, the myth, the legend, the main voice of the character himself, Mr. Kevin Conroy as Batman. Arlene Sorkin as Harley. Richard Mull as Two-Face. And like I said, Treat Williams as Dr. Milo from the Tiger Tiger episode. And I just want to celebrate these. That's what this episode is, folks. I just want to celebrate these people. When I heard about the deaths last year, when I heard about Richard Mull's death specifically, when I heard about that, I was like, that's when this came up. I was like, holy crap. How many people from BTAS have actually are not with us anymore? And a list of 23 people is just shocking to me. But we're going to go through these not really. We're not going to go through all of their stuff. We're going to go through some of it. But I do want to start with Roddy McDowall, who voiced the Mad Hatter, because I am going to use the IMDb links that I've provided for us, because it's just easier for me. But, he had such a really great career. And a lot of these actors, they've done endless things beyond voice acting. All of them are all over the place.
Oh, yeah, it's insane, like, the amount of stuff that these guys have done.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Oh, wait a minute, was he real? Oh, wow. Oh, that's probably why he ended up being the Mad Hatter. He was the bookworm in the 66 Batman series for 2 episodes. Wow. I did not know that. But this show, folks, Batman the Animated Series and the rest of the DCAU, it just goes to show you that Andrea Romano and everybody at the show, they got, like, the cat's pajamas when it comes to actors and actresses for these voices. I don't remember, like, I remember Melissa Gilbert and I remember obviously Tara Strong the most out of the 3 Batgirls, but Mary Kay Bergman, just looking at her stuff, let's see, she was in South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. She was in Hercules, she was in The Hunchback of Notre Dame as Quasimodo's mother. She was a couple of characters in Johnny Bravo. She was in Rugrats. She was the voice of... Wow, I did not... I need to go back and watch her Batgirl episode again, because I did not notice this. She's the voice of Gwen Stacy in Spider-Man the Animated Series. And Gwen was only in 1 episode. Gwen was in the Spider-Wars Chapter 2, Farewell Spider-Man. Because Gwen Stacy in that show was on the alternate Earth thing. Let's see. Brock Peters as Lucius Fox. It just makes me smile and marvel at all of the actors that this show had, and just everything I get to discover. That's interesting. I think we're both old enough to remember storybook CDs and stuff, like, you know, storybook cassette type things from back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Brock Peters was, it's probably one of the only times James Earl Jones was not the voice of Darth Vader. He was the voice, Brock Peters, who voiced Lucius Fox in Batman the Animated Series. He was the voice of Darth Vader in The Empire Strikes Back, read along, storybook, and CD in 1997. Mm. Must have been part of George's whatever with the special editions. Who knows? I don't know. But I mean, just the legacy this show has, the legacy these people have, and just, man, I just absolutely, absolutely love all of these actors and actresses. What else is Brock in? He was in Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. He was, oh, so, okay. That's, I guess he was the radio cassette guy for Darth Vader, because he also voiced him in The Empire Strikes Back, the original radio drama, as well as the Star Wars original radio drama from 81 and 83, respectively. That's interesting. So, yep. Let's see here. I always, the interesting thing about voice acting, folks, is you see the animated character, you hear the voice. You don't see the person behind that, because it's a cartoon. I always liked the voice of Hamilton, Mayor Hamilton Hill, and Lloyd Bochner. I was like, and this is one of the reasons why we're doing this again, like I said, is to, for me, more so to do research on these people, to figure out what, not figure out, but to see what else they've been in, to see if there's anything else that I'm missing in my life when it comes to movies and TV and whatever. And he was in a lot of these voice actors who went on to be really famous voice actors. Most of them ended up being, you know, they started at like those every person actors where they're in everything. Like, you're in 4 episodes of this, you're in 5 episodes of that. He was Cecil Colby for 27 episodes in Dynasty from 1981 to 82. He was in the A-Team for an episode. He was in the Love Boat for 2 episodes. It's just one of those things. And just Mayor Hill, I just always love that voice.
Yeah, he was pretty phenomenal in Phenomenal. Speak English, Steve. It just kind of in everything he was in. I mean, it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think Batman the Animated Series is the only place. And again, this is, like I've already said multiple times, why I wanted to do this, to look at these people's filmography here. It's the only place I think I've ever seen or heard Michael Ancera, who was the voice of Mr. Freeze. I don't.
He does really well in that, to be honest.
Yeah, no. Not only did the story for Heart of Ice define the character going forward, the voice was amazing. And I'm just, and most of these actors, folks, I mean, Michael Ancera has, like, his debut was, I'm still scrolling. His debut was 1944 in Action in Arabia. He played an uncredited role named Hamid. I'm pretty much only starting like in the 80s when I was born in 80, Steve was born in 86. I mean, I'm looking back at some of the earlier stuff as well, but not as much. If I get past 1974 or earlier than 74, it's like I may not recognize this stuff, but just. Yeah, he was in 1 episode of Chips. He was in 5 episodes of Romance Theater. He was in 63. Ooh. Oh, that's right. He played General Warhawk in the Rambo animated series from 1986 for 63 episodes. How Rambo got 63 episodes is beyond me. Of course, it was the 80s in syndication. Any of the names that jump out at you that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, aside from Michael Ancera and Mary Kay Bergman, who, mm-hmm. like, obviously Adam West.
Yeah.
The de facto Batman before Keaton and Conroy.
Yep.
Ed Asner.
As Daggett, yeah.
Well, I mean, just in everything. I mean.
Oh, yeah. No,
absolutely. I remember him. I mean, he was in Up. He was in. I mean, he's still posthumously in shows even this year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy. Like.
Yep.
But he also was. Is Cosgrove and Freakazoid.
Yep.
Which is one of the main places I remember him from.
Yeah. Ed Asner has one of those voices that you just know immediately. Like, he's just one of those. He was always one of those actors. He always had one of those voices that as soon as you heard it, you're like, yep, that's Ed Asner, no matter what character he was playing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I find it absolutely hilarious that one of Batman's biggest villains would go on to be one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles' biggest allies in The Secret of the Ooze, David Warner,
as
Professor Jordan Perry.
Well, funny enough, he played the Loeb in Freakazoid.
Mm-hmm.
He played him again in Teen Titans Go.
Nice.
He also was in... I haven't seen Torchwood. I know he's in that, and so is like John Delancey and people like that.
Yeah.
He's been like a narrator in some of the podcasted Doctor Who stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Tron.
Yeah, Edward Dillinger. Yep, pretty much his. That's the breakout for me when it comes to his stuff. Is that role?
Well, for me. Aside from TMNT, Secrets of the Ooze, he was in the Men in Black TV cartoon series as Alpha.
That's right, he was, yeah.
He was in Star Trek under numerous occasions. He was in Star Trek V, the Final Frontier.
Nice.
As a Federation ambassador that was sent out to... Nimbus 3, trying to figure out what year that was.
Star Trek 5 was, oh boy, 89.
He was John Talbot, Federation ambassador.
There you go.
And then he was in Star Trek 6, The Undiscovered Country, which came out after Secrets of the Ooze.
Yep.
And he was Chancellor Gorkon, a Klingon.
Yep.
And then what's funny is he was in Star Trek The Next Generation as a Cardassian named Gul Madred, who was the one in the two-parter episode that basically that's where the there are four lights.
Oh, yeah.
Meme comes that's from true. Is because he was trying to strip Picard of his humanity and his sanity to make him basically his mental slave.
Mm-hmm.
And he would turn on five lights and Picard would be like, there are four lights. And he was like, wrong. And would just like torture him. And yeah, so that was the last time he was in Star Trek.
Yeah.
But yeah, he played memorable characters in each.
Yep. He is, I think out of everybody on this list, and I'm pretty sure he's the only person to my knowledge that I can remember, and we'll find out by going through some of these others, but he is the one person that I remember. Ra's al Ghul from Batman the Animated Series. And then 2 years later, he plays Jor-El in Lois and Clark, the new, he plays Superman's father in 1994. God. He was in Babylon 5 for a role. He was in Biker Mice from Mars as Icebreaker for one episode.
He was in Gargoyles. He was in Iron Man. I mean, the dude was in everything.
He's in everything, yeah. I mean, he really, really was. Yeah, David Warner, always loved that guy. Oh, that was the other guy. It's Batman, Superman, and Spider-Man, I believe, because he was Doctor... Who the heck was he? Is it him? I could have sworn it was. Why isn't that listed here? Come on, IMDb, do your job. Did I not scroll up for him? Yeah, there he is. He was Herbert Landon in The Red Skull. It was in 95 to 97 for 13 episodes in Spider-Man the Animated Series. I knew I was forgetting something. And he was Spicer Lovejoy in the three-hour craptastic epic Titanic from 1997. But yeah, love David Warner. He was always such a great, great actor. Amazing, amazing stuff. From 2016 to 2022, right before he passed, he was in 20 episodes of Doctor Who, The New Adventures of Bernie Summerfield. Oh, that's the podcast series. Okay, I thought that was the actual television show, but either way. We haven't talked it to death, but we did a whole other special where my buddy Jesse Raz joined us, where we gave tribute to Kevin Conroy, and I'm not trying to take away from Kevin and in his memory at all, but, I mean, Kevin Conroy is Kevin, the GD Batman. Like, we can go through it, but, like, I'll look at this, and I want to see if there's things that I don't know that he did, because we know a lot that he did.
This is Kevin Conroy, and I am the goddamn Batman.
And thankfully, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League is not going to be his last posthumous role, thank God.
Nope, Crisis on Infinite Earths, Part 3.
Yep. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, and it was only one episode. I need to go back and watch it. There was the CGI He-Man and the Masters of the Universe on Netflix. I did not know he voiced Hordak.
I did not either.
Wow, Hordak. So I might have to go back and watch that just to see how he voiced that character. So there's one thing I didn't know about the guy.
Yeah, I had no idea he did that either.
Yep.
He was in a video game as Old Man Bill. He was in Multiverses. Which, that video game, I guess, is slated to come out soon-ish.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. It says 2022, but that was an alpha.
Oh, okay.
Or a beta or something. Like, it's slated to come out, like, next month.
Yeah, the main release. Got it. The one place where I knew he was going to be, but I did not know how they were going to, like, have him be Batman is Justice League Action. That is a severely underrated series. And
he's actually really good in that.
I mean, he's great in everything, but, like, there's some lines that they have him saying that I'm just like, huh? There's a whole scene, and I absolutely love this. There's a whole scene where it's him and Superman, and they're going after Deadshot. Superman is voiced by George Newbern again, so George is reprising when he was Superman in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. You got Kevin as Batman, and then you got Christian Slater as Deadshot. They end up in the interrogation room, and Superman tries to be like Superman tries not to be himself, tries not to be the Boy Scout. He tries to be a hard ass like Batman. And it's such a hilarious scene. And in this scene, Batman, voiced by Kevin Conroy, the subtlety in this man, like, he just kind of takes on the whole Bat and the whole I am vengeance, I am the night, I am always in the shadow. He just, like, pops up and, here, coffee. Ah, get that away from me. Donut? Chocolate is good. Like, oh my God, the whole freaking scene. I absolutely love it, and I'm sure people will hear it in here in the podcast somewhere, because I know I'm going to put it in somewhere. But, yeah, I want to eventually go back and look at Justice League Action again, because I feel that show is severely underrated.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah. This really kind of makes me want to go buy a Viewmaster. He was Batman Animated VR in Viewmaster. I kind of want to see that. obviously he reprised in multiple Batman projects over the years. The Killing Joke, Arkham Knight, the three video games, Arkham Knight, Arkham City, Arkham Origins, Arkham whatever. And he's done Batman and a bunch of other things as well. Obviously, Old Man Bruce and Batman Beyond, opposite Wilfred Ellis, Terry McGinnis. Just such... I mean, Kevin is just... He was an amazing, amazing person. I absolutely love the guy. And then Arlene Sorkin. So you got Harley passed away in, like I said, 2023. So just last year. And I mainly only know her as Harley. I don't, like, I'm looking here and I'm like, it's, oh, I think I kind of remember her. In the one episode of Frasier she was in. But, yeah. I mean, her credits are Batman, Superman, Batman, Superman, the Batman, Superman movie. She was in Ted and Venus. She was in Room for Romance. She was in the new Mike Hammer. She was in... Okay. Now, wait a minute. I need to go back for this. And it's, well, it was last year. Oh, God. Wow, last year was the 40th anniversary. We might be doing a new studio episode revisiting Trading Places because it says she was a woman at the party, uncredited, in Trading Places. So, I mean, that movie's never not a bad thing to go back to anyways, but true. I just loved her. She was such a great person, a great actress, and... The roles that she did do outside of Harley are just really fun. And then last year, like I said, Treat Williams voiced Dr. Milo. But, I mean, Treat Williams, he was actually in one of my favorite series, White Collar. He ended up playing Neil Caffrey's father.
I recognize his face, but I don't recognize what he's in.
Yeah, he's one of those where you recognize the voice, you recognize the face, but I would say that Everwood is one of his longest running series from the CW. He was from 2002 to 2006, 89 episodes. Let's see, before that, I'm trying to think of what he mainly did.
Bit parts,
but he also did a lot of movies too.
True.
He was in 1941 as Captain Chuck Stretch Zdarsky. Probably mispronouncing that. He was in Neapolitan Sting. He was in J. Edgar Hoover, where he played J. Edgar Hoover from 1987. But yeah, I mean, basically... My main takeaway from him... Oh, The Devil's Own. I thought that was The Devil's Advocate. Damn, I got excited for a second. I'm like, I don't remember him in The Devil's Advocate. He wasn't in it. That's where he was the substitute. I remember that now. Very, very cool. Unfortunately, we've lost all these people. And then I can't tell you how many... different things. Like, I don't know if somebody did this, but I wish somebody would. I wish somebody would have taken a picture of Richard Mull as Bull from Night Court and put Two-Face side by side with it, because those are the two main things I remember Richard Mull from, is being Bull on Night Court and the voice of Two-Face in Batman the Animated Series. It's just so fun. And, I mean, this show had, the talent of these people. You wouldn't know that, if you didn't see his name and didn't look, you wouldn't know that Bull from Night Court ended up being Harvey Two-Face in Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, no.
And, you know, say what you will about, I forget which, is it Judgment Day? I think it's Judgment Day. Where the third so you got Harvey, Two-Face, and then the judge. There's a three personality split now between the character. And the whole thing is just done so well. And I don't think it's because of my research here in order to do this episode, but I have been seeing nothing in Instagram Reels but Kevin Conroy. People putting reels up of people asking Kevin Conroy. He's from old, he's from years and years ago about voicing Batman and various things. And I'm like, damn it, man. All of these people are sorely missed. We understand that death is a part of life and everything else, but it just goes to show you how awesome Batman the Animated Series was, from the writing to the music to the voice acting to the acting in general, just everything. It was just so good, and that show has such a legacy, and I don't think anybody that's in their right or left brain would ever say anything bad about the show as a whole. Yes, every show is going to have bad episodes. All shows do. Hell, podcasts have bad episodes. You know, but on a whole, the legacy of Batman the Animated Series is amazing, and man, we're never going to get something like that ever again.
No, sadly not.
Good thing there's still physical media.
Mm-hmm. Thankfully so.
Absolutely. So, folks, who were your favorite voices from Batman the Animated Series? Let us know in the comments on GeekCastRadio.com. Think we're going to go to a quick ad break, or we're going to come back, do a little housekeeping, a little wrap-up, things like that.
Legends of the Dark Knight. We'll be back after this.
Kid? Yes? Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film, Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on GeekCast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kit?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Hey, Jared, I have this idea for a new show for the network.
What is it?
You know how I liked the 1990s comic book series, The New Warriors?
Yeah, yes, yes. Yep.
And you know how at the Long Boss Crusade we're trying to get the YouTube channel going?
Yes, also correct.
Well, thanks. So, how about you and me do a live stream show about the New Warriors? You've never read the books before, and I have them, and so that's a great setup. We could give it a catchy name, like Come Out to Play. Don't you think that's the greatest idea?
Sure, Delvin, that's a great idea. Just one question.
Yeah?
Why do you have me dangling off this ledge, holding me by only one arm?
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll get it soon. I hope. Come Out to Play, a New Warriors podcast, comes to you live on YouTube every second Tuesday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Longbox Crusade channel. If you can't watch it there, we replay them on the Longbox Crusade Network podcast feed, available anywhere podcasts can be found. We invite you to come along for the ride, or in other words, New Warriors. Come out to play, yay!
Hi everyone, I'm here to tell you about the DC Comics News Podcast, here every week to talk everything DC, movies, TV, comics, and everything in between. But don't just take my word for it, here are a couple of our sponsors. Listen to the DC Comics News Podcast, it's audio justice.
No, it's audio chaos, these wackos are crazier than I am.
Well, maybe you're both right. Regardless, you can catch us on every kind of podcast platform. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere you find great podcasts. So, can I go now? Let him go. He did everything you asked.
No.
Ah, brave new world that has such putzes in it. You know, kids, a lot has changed while your old Uncle Joker's been away. New Gotham, new rules, even a new Batman.
It isn't 65 years in the future, but Legends of the Dark Knight has gone beyond. Batman Beyond, that is.
Ah, the new boy. Ears are too long and I miss the cape, but not too shabby. Not too shabby at all.
Join Steve and Mike as they delve into the remaining episodes of the podcast, where they'll cover Batman Beyond, products, games, and more. Check it out only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Do you like the Transformers?
Yes.
Do you like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Do you like IDW Comics?
And comic book podcasts?
Then come check out Ninjas and Bots. Each week we look at an issue of Transformers
or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from their IDW Comics incarnation. We drop episodes every Saturday morning.
Just like the cartoons we loved as a kid. The show can be found on your favorite podcatcher and at johnreadscomics.com.
See you then.
Hurry, Skeletor, hurry!
The Powers of Grayskull series has covered every episode of all of the Masters of the Universe cartoons except for two. Join Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become Masters in Space, evolve into the Masters of Grayskull, and finally reveal the revelation of Masters of the Universe. We'll also be finding out the origins of how guests got into or out of watching the Masters of the Universe cartoons, and so much more. You can find the podcast at GeekCastRadio.com and any podcatching client you choose to use. By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
He-Man! Always He-Man!
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
What?
Oh, nothing. It's just, you always get to be the bad cop. I thought maybe this time I could be the bad cop.
All right, Deadshot. We need a name, and we want it right now. Whoops. A little too hard. Sorry, Batman, that's nothing compared to what I'm about to do to you, Deadshot, if I don't get what I want now.
What?
You'd better watch yourself with my partner here. Any little thing can set him off.
Superman, we talking about the same guy here?
Why don't you step out, Batman? I want to have a little private talk with Deadshot here. Let's put a little light on the subject. Sorry. Too bright? That's nothing compared to my heat vision, which would really do some serious damage. So, talk.
You gotta be kidding.
Coffee?
Gah! Don't do that!
I thought you might like coffee. It's good.
Why are you showing me your teeth? What is that?
You're gonna need that coffee after I get through with you.
Donut.
Gah! Get that away from me! Is it poison?
It's chocolate.
I'll talk! I'll tell you everything!
Just get him out of here!
And we're back. So, on our next episode, we're going to be talking about some cult brands.
Oh, boy. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, funny enough, it was a suggestion from my boss, so...
Why is that? Why did your boss suggest this?
Because we were discussing it while we were in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
We were like, oh yeah, cult brands and people that... And I was like, oh yeah, you mean like people that buy Apple products. Because I have no direct love for Apple products, so I could appreciate what it's done for the industry, but it's, at the same time, it's not one of those brands that I just love. So, yeah.
I'm brand loyal to a lot of things.
I can be, if the price is right.
Right, but they make it, and we'll get to this next week, folks, in episode 431. So you'll hear this in a week or so. What else you got going on right now?
Finally completing my Power Rangers collection.
Yay!
Between 3D printing the armor because
Hasbro decided to do a stupid.
Well, Hasbro pulled a stupid. They were like, "Oh, there's huge demand on the remastered Green and Red Ranger, but let's pull the plug on the Lightning Collection." Before the majority of people could actually get it, like it went on, like you could get order it in like October, November, and then it was gone. And then everybody that had pre-ordered it and didn't get it, they're like, "Eh, sorry about your bad luck." So yeah, a lot of people are pretty ticked off about it. Everybody's on Facebook going, "When are they bringing it back?" Never. Hasbro essentially spent $6 billion to buy the brand, and then they're like, "Yeah, let's put it on the shelf," because they essentially, like, Netflix wanted them to keep going with the new seasons on Netflix, because one, it was getting massive views, and two, it was, you know, getting the licensed property there, but also, like, they'd been producing it since Hasbro bought it, and especially with Once and Always and Cosmic Fury, and honestly, graphically, they were better than the last several seasons, and they brought production back to the U.S. And then on top of it, I don't know, I felt like they were willing to dump the money into it to create the original content, because there was nothing reused for Once and Always. Like, it was completely original, and Cosmic Fury even had majority of it was brand new, and I felt like they did a wonderful job overall. Like, yeah, there were some pitfalls, and I felt like Cosmic Fury should have had another season to flesh out some of what they were dropping at the end of that season. But Hasbro was like, "Nope, we're done." And they want to reboot it. And in essence, they've essentially pulled the plug on the entire line. But they had a buttload of like quality control issues. And then they were re-releasing the MMPR figures with remasters, which essentially was a better head sculpt, a better helmet sculpt, because in some cases they were like skinny, narrow helmets instead of being like the wider, like normal view helmet. They fixed a lot of the paint job. They fixed the belt where it has the lines across it for the remaster. And then they added a little bit more accessories in some cases, or in the accessories of like the Green Ranger, they made him when he'd given the dragon armor to Jason and had the candle and he was losing his powers. And so they had that version of Tommy that came out recently in the remaster. And I managed to get that one, just by happenstance. It was like on sale on eBay or something. And then I was trying to get my hands on the remaster Red Ranger for MMPR because there's multiple reasons. One, it has the belt lining. Two, it's got the normal shaped head for the morphed body, but it also comes with the entire dragon armor suit, which Tommy was lacking. But it doesn't come with Jason's head because of the issues with Austin St. John. So I was like, I'm willing to go without the head, the human head, to have everything else. And then I had it on pre-order. I had it, and then it kept getting delayed. And then they're like, "Oh, by the way, it's on indefinite delay until the end of the year." And then people were getting notice from Entertainment Earth that after they took everybody's money, because that's what Entertainment Earth does, and BBTS doesn't do that. And they're saying, "Yeah, Hasbro's pulled the plug." Was essentially the email that Entertainment Earth was sending out. Now, BBTS somehow sometimes manages to get things even after the fact. But if it even happens, it'll be at the end of the year. My guess is that they're going to let everybody know in the next month or two that, we're not getting these, so we're going to cancel everybody's pre-order. And then sadly, Hasbro Pulse also is out of all of these, and they had one rerun of the Lightning Collection Master Morpher. And then that was it. And I barely missed the second time. The first time I didn't have any funds, so I couldn't do it. And then the second time I had the funds, but it sold out before I could hit pay. Because it was still on my cart.
Oh, see, that's not right.
It was literally in my cart, and I was trying to pay, and it was like, no, all gone. And I was like, you suck.
Yeah, that's not right. Businesses, online businesses, should count products as being in process to be sold to that. Again, I'm not saying we sell this, but let's just say, for example, we would never do this, folks. I'm not saying we would at all. Let's just say we were going to sell 99 cent downloads, $1.05 or $1 whatever after tax, of our podcasts on geekcastradio.com. And let's just say we have, let's just say it's the top 100 stuff. Let's say we sell those for $5 per download, because that was 100 hours worth of, anyway, doesn't matter. Point is, you put it in your cart, that should immediately begin you being in process of being able to check out with that item. And this is a whole other toy topic we can talk about on ToyCast, but people that use bots to get multiples of one.
Oh, it was infuriating because looking at some of the collections of people, and they had a dragon armor for every single one of their Rangers.
Oh my God.
Which means that they bought how many copies of it?
Mm-hmm.
Just people were like, man, I just want one.
Yeah. And there's only two Rangers that the dragon armor really belongs on. Obviously, Tommy as the Green Ranger, and then, like you already said, Jason as the Red Ranger, when blah, blah, blah. So.
Yeah. So, I was like, oh, this sucks.
People suck, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've 3D printed it successfully-ish. The first time I tried printing it, I printed it on black filament. And it turned out okay, and then I painted it gold, but it looks like, it reminds me of the chintzy armor that Tommy had, before they shot it in the U.S., when it was, the Japanese or the Chinese or whatever version of it, where it was, super floppy and looks like something that, a parent would make for a kid for their Halloween costume. So I have gold filament now. And I've 3D printed it. I cut it in half so it would actually print properly this time. And there's a little bit of a cut in the middle of it, which I'm not too concerned with, because overall it looks 10 times better than the one that's currently on my Green Ranger. And it's shinier, and it looks like, I'm going to experiment with it again still and try and print it as one whole piece instead of cut in half. But I'll have my Green Ranger, and then I managed to get my hands on the Jason Red Ranger, with the Jason head, the Wave 3 or whatever, because everybody's got that one, and it goes for anywhere from 16 to 29, which isn't terrible. And BBTS had it for 24, and then it somehow ended up discounted on order. And so I have that one coming. I'll have it this week. So I'll have my MMPR collection complete. Give or take, with my 3D printed parts from my Green Ranger. And then I'll have a knockoff Megazord, 7-inch combiner Megazord of the Dino Megazord. And then I'm like, I'm good. I've 3D printed the Xenizer because that's $200 to buy one. And I 3D printed it. And part of it, I'll probably reprint part of it because that was before I had some of my settings tuned in, so some of it's a little kind of rickety looking. And some of the stuff I'm printing now is a lot smoother, so I'll probably reprint part of it and repair it, but then I'll probably end up printing myself the Master Morpher because on secondary market it goes for like $300, and I'm like, I'm not spending that. Like 65 is kind of my limit, which is what it was selling for new. I would probably go up to like 80, but I'm not going to go higher than that. It's just like the scalpers in the secondary market are ridiculous.
They
kind of ruin collecting for everyone.
Yeah. This is the Master Morpher, right? Is
that yeah.
Okay. So this Master Morpher that has, it's Tommy's Master Morpher, right?
Yes.
Just one. Okay. I want to make sure. Okay. So here's the thing. I understand they wanted to have this as a Hasbro Pulse exclusive. Fine, whatever. But really, you put Tommy Oliver, Jason David, you put the man's name, the character's name, the Green Ranger, the White Ranger, the Red Ranger, the Black Ranger, the Invisible Ranger, whatever the hell. As long as it's that character, if you put that in stores, it will sell out. You will make bank. Like, I understand the whole thing of exclusivity and this, that, and the thing, and everything else, but not everyone was able to get a chance. Like, you didn't have the funds when you were had
nope.
the first. You had the funds the second time around, you got screwed. That's why I'm saying either these websites need to do something where as soon as you put something in your cart, that begins the checkout process for you as a customer, and somebody else doesn't get it because it isn't in their cart. That's what I wish somebody said. Oh my, this is a whole other bigger issue, but I'm just... Oh my god, fucking Hasbro, man. I'm getting to the point now, even with my, like, I still love my Funko collection. I still love the Funkos that I have, but there are plenty of characters that I don't really care to have anymore. So I'm going to either donate them or sell them or do something with them of the ones that I don't want anymore. But, like, by probably the end of the year, I think I currently have over 300 Funko Pops. I think that's what it's at. I'm probably going to cut that down to about 150.
Yeah, and see, like, for me, like, I've started to kind of weigh. I'm like, all right, I have a display case. What is going to fit? What is not? What do I care about? What do I not? Because, like, I mean, I've toyed with the idea of picking up, you know, other Transformers point in case, like Silverbolt, or for, like, Beast Wars, some other trans art figures, and ultimately I've kind of broken it down to the fact of, like, do I care enough? Do I need them? Do I, you know, what was my level of interest on these certain eras of figures? Like, obviously, like, I like the Megatrons, the Beast Wars Megatrons, the Optimus Primals, and the like the Rat Traps and things like that. But I don't like, and I like some of the trans metals, and I wouldn't mind having them or the trans art versions, but one, like, it becomes a space issue, and then two, it becomes like a cost issue. Like, I have, like, I wouldn't mind, like, the trans art depth charge when that comes out, because it's going to look spectacular, like, but I'm passing on, like Quick Strike and Silverbolt, and I was going to get Tarantulas, but I passed on him, because, I mean, I have the season one version, and while I like the trans metal one, I've kind of come to this point of, like, I don't need every version of every character. Like, pick the one that, like, I like the best, or the one that I already have, and kind of just live with it. And then when they kind of don't serve a purpose, I'll just get rid of them. But, like, I have some G1, I have some G2, I have some Star Trek figures. Like, I mean, I've picked up a few of those just because, one, they were cheap. Two, like, I'm trying to customize, like, a Captain Kirk figure that I always wanted, and I'm kind of working on that little by little, and, you know, printing more of the ships, and I have one of the Polar Lights Enterprise Constitution class refits that I've painted and been trying to put decals on and paint to try and make it look like my ship on Star Trek Online, because the one I got from Star Trek Online looks kind of like a pile of garbage when you're up close. Like, far away it looks fine, because you can see all the details and everything in the Aztec-ing. This Polar Lights one, while I love the design of the ships, I would never buy another Polar Lights ship again, because they feel chintzy. Like, they feel cheaper than my 3D prints. And, like, one, my 3D prints are, like, usually 2 to 3 parts to put together. And there's more advanced ones where it can be, like, multiple pieces, and they just kind of clip in. Like, this Polar Lights one, half the stuff is, like, there's a gap because something didn't want to snap in because it wasn't like fully aligned or whatever. And then I know you can get buy lighting kits for them, and I've already ruined that part and painted whatever it was that needed to be lit up, and I've already attached it together and things. And I can't do the Aztec-ing because they stopped selling that kit, and I don't want to spend $60 to buy the Aztec kit. And then I hate the decals. Like, I love the decals, how they look, but they never, like, you can't apply them and have them look decent. So I've just opted to, like, put on some of them. And I'm like, whatever ones I don't put on, I just don't put on, but I'm going to use some of them for, like, accents, and then I'll paint the rest of it and then assemble it. And then I'll try and get, like, some decals printed that are of the ship name that I want from my game. But yeah, I mean, otherwise I'm just 3D printing the ships, and then I'll just paint them by hand and, you know, make up my own color palette. And honestly, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm going, like, yeah, I still want certain, like, so for me, the biggest sets that I want to complete in my collection are complete to a transform, like, some people will joke around with me, oh, you're not going to get them all when you're not a Transformer. No, I don't want them all. So Funko has several Transformers pops that, like the movie pops, don't want them. Have no interest whatsoever for the Rise of the Beast movie. They look better than the older Funko movie pops they did, but I want the Generation 1 stuff. I want the this. I want the that. I want those Beast Wars NFTs that they did. But it's one of those things where I'm not trying to complete that set. I'm just trying to get all my favorite Transformers characters as Funko Pops. So I'm working on that, and I've got, I don't have them all yet, but I'm working on Batman the Animated Series to tie back into earlier in the episode. I just made a deal for Joker and Dr. Harlan Quinzel, so I'll get that next month. But the rest of it, I don't know. It just depends. Like, I'm getting more interested in seeing what kind of display stuff Funko can give. Like, Funko does, they do comic covers, they do VHS covers, and it's larger things with a figure inside. Like, there's a Dark Knight movie poster cover from The Dark Knight, and it's Heath Ledger Joker and Christian Bale Batman Funko Pops inside of it, but it's the poster for the movie behind it, and it's slightly bigger than a 6-inch pop, but I don't know, it just, I don't know. Toy collecting is kind of winding down again for me. I don't
know. And I can understand that. Like, I'm, I don't know. It kind of depends for me too. Like, yeah. I, within reason, yeah, I'll do it on a case-by-case basis, more or less.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and the same thing for me. Like, it has to, like, when I go through and I'm about to go through and do this purge, like I said, and donate a bunch of these things to a charity auction that's coming up in May for the Poppin' Duo. They're doing on May 18th on Whatnot, they're doing a charity auction for the Ronald McDonald House. But, yeah, any character that I don't feel like I absolutely have to have in my Funko Pop collection, it's going to go in a soft protector. It's going to go in one of these four different totes that I have around my living room right now, and I'm just going to mail it to him and say, hey guys, donation for the charity.
Nice.
Because I'm not making, like, it is, for me personally, with the situation that I'm in with my disabilities, the fact that I don't drive and the fact that I don't go out to the post office and do shipping and do this and do that all the time, or I don't have easy access to it or easy transportation to get to and from, etc., 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 I would rather just donate the stuff to people that I know and to a good cause, too, because a lot of these people that do Whatnot auctions and stuff, when they do charity auctions, it goes to a good cause. And I want to see the stuff that I've had for the last few years. If I'm not interested in it, hey, somebody else. Like, probably one of the ones I'm going to get rid of off the top of my head is probably the 5 individual New Kids on the Block pops. Even though I love New Kids on the Block, I have the 5-pack. I'm not mailing the 5-pack to Vince. I'm not mailing the 5-pack to the Poppin' Duo. This is not going to happen. Or, you know, I'll figure out which Batmans I want and which ones I don't, and kind of thing. And I would rather donate them or sell them to people I know than to just go on eBay and take a risk or go on to whatever. deal with all that. It's just too much hassle. So, hey, wrap it all up in plastic, put it in a tote, and mail it away.
Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
No, you gotta say it right. Come on, now. If you're gonna really say that, you gotta do it right.
No, he goes, boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew, boil them, mash them.
What's Tonto's precious?
Potatoes. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
Lord.
Hey, he agreed with me.
The real voice. Well, I had to pull out the real voice in order to agree with you.
Yes.
All right. Why don't you close out episode 430? Because, folks, we are 70 episodes away from 500 of Alter Geek.
Whoop, whoop. So thank you, as always, for listening to Alter Geek. I've been your host, Steve Megatron, along with TFG1 Mike. And be sure to check us out on the episode post on geekcastradio.com. You can, of course, interact with me and the show on Twitter at SCP21 and at Altered Geek. You can, of course, contact Mike at TFG1Mike. This episode's post will be on Facebook and, of course, all over the various podcast atmospheres. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.